thank you. I'm Avri Doria, and I guess I'm not sure whether it's Cheryl and I that are kicking this off or whether it's Bo and I that are kicking this off, but I'll assume that it's Cheryl and I for the moment.
Since Bo is not on the call, as far as I can tell right now.
Okay.
Yes.
First, could I guess someone read off the list of people who are currently on the call, and then others will get announced by the operators that come so that we have a record of who all is here. And it might be good to state what group they come from, if you know.
Hi, Avri. It's Gisela. I can do the roll call for you. There's some that I will not know which group they come from, but perhaps Glenn can fill in there.
Or they can chirp in, but thank you.
On today's call, we have Michele Nailon, Antonio Medina, we have Tatiana Kramsova, Avri Doria, GNSO Council, Alan Greenberg, ALAC, Sebastian Bachoulet, ALAC, Cheryl Langdon Orr, ALAC, Steve Metalis,
IPC,
Tim Ruiz.
Hi, everyone.
Vittorio Bertolo.
Hi.
Danny Younger.
Andres Piazza.
Lutz Doneker.
Hello.
Andres Piazza, ALAC.
Hi.
From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Marika Konings, Liz Gaster, Margie Milam, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And we do have apologies from Mark Trachtenberg, Konstantinos Komaitis, Krista Papak, Rudy Vansnick, and Phil Corwin. If I can also please remind everyone to please state their names when speaking. This will help for the recording and transcript purposes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. So, Cheryl, should you or I start with the introduction, background, et cetera?
Happy for you to go ahead with that, but I do want to record that certainly Holly Raish from Australia indicated her probable apologies because of the timing of tonight's meeting, but hopefully not in the future.
And you didn't you didn't mention my name. I'm Bo Brentler from the ALEC.
Oh, Bo, you're here.
Excellent.
Okay. Yeah, I should probably also mention that Andrei Kolesnikov, and I'm not sure I've pronounced it correctly, who's a new NAMCOM appointee to the, an incoming NAMCOM appointee to the council, was planning on attending, but found out he had a conflict and sent apologies. So I think he plans to participate.
Avri?
Yes.
Avri, this is Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
I'm sorry. I found out it was not this call he was supposed to be on. It was another call.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So I guess he didn't send his apologies to this call. I apologize.
And
thank you.
This is Adam. I'm Adam Peake from ALAC. I'm on the call. Thanks.
Oh, hi, Adam. Okay. So I guess I'll start off with a quick introduction and then invite either Cheryl or Bo, who is going to be ALAC's lead on this, to augment it. Basically, there was a set of RAA amendments that went through a while back, and as part of the whole effort to put that through, the GNSO had recommended the formation of two groups. One to, and I'm going to put this very briefly, one to basically look into what other possible changes, if any, should be discussed in terms of future RAA, and one to start out a recording the registrants' rights and responsibilities as they currently exist, and then to perhaps look at future registrants' rights and responsibilities. A charter was quite carefully written around the words of the charter effort, largely led by Steve Metalis. And instead of doing two groups, what came out in that discussion is that because these efforts were so interlinked, it really made a lot more sense to make one overall group, though there could be different sub-teams working on different pieces, And in fact, one sub-team has already, I think, started that was basically working on taking a staff documentation of the rights and responsibilities, and then, and I think done by Margie, if I remember correctly, and if I misremember, someone should correct me, done by Margie, and then I believe it was Tim and Alan who were starting as a core of a group to take those and start looking at how to make them more presentable, more presentation style of rights and responsibilities that could be posted. I don't know how far that effort has gotten, and we can get into that later. But basically, it's one group. As part of that group, the notion was to have two coordinators, whether we call them leads, chairs, and we're constantly slipping, but basically two people to coordinate. And by the way, we've tried to use that same coordinator language in another joint group we're doing with ESSAC, sort of just to differentiate the roles when it's a joint effort. But basically, two coordinators, one from the GNSO and one from ALAC. Now, I was informed in an email that Bo was listed as for ALAC as their lead in this. I asked a question before the recording started whether lead translated into their person for the coordinator role, and I think I was told yes, but please correct me if I'm wrong, which case would mean that we already have the ALAC coordinator. But Cheryl or Bo, please fill in anything I got wrong, I left out, or, you know, tell us.
No, that sounds right to me. In terms of what I was asked by ALAC to do, I have to apologize for a bit of a gap in my continuity with RAA matters as of about the past 8 months or so. I've had a fair amount of personal things to deal with, so prior to that I was quite engaged in RAA stuff, but have not been so much over the past 8 months. I think I can probably come up to speed fairly quickly, though. One thing I just wanted to add to or to ask about your description of how to go forward, there has been some concern in the North American region that part of this process that includes, the process that you outlined, does it include an aspect that would allow further suggestions for further improvements or possible amendments to the RAA, should those be considered necessary by the user community, or is this circumscribed just to creating a list of registrants' rights?
Now, if I can, and please anyone else can jump in, if, as was stipulated in the charter, first is definitely getting the list of what exists up, published, and ready to go.
Gotcha.
And so that what exists was well known and could be told to people.
Great.
The other side of the group is basically looking at what future actions there can or should be, and, you know, and can be suggested going forward. Now, one of the reasons we didn't separate off this group is because it's difficult to know whether future registrants, future possible registrant rights and responsibilities, where would they go? So they would probably fit in with that effort, but they can be dealt with separately. But no, there was no closure of what can be discussed and considered and suggested for future action, though there's no specific method of future action preset.
Thank you.
Anyone want to add to that? And I know I was perhaps a little sloppy in trying to be careful.
Yeah, Alfred, this is Steve. If I could get in the queue.
Okay, I've got Steve. Anyone else wish to be in the queue?
Alan,
anyone else? Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, just to add that if I'm assuming that the charter that the council approved on September 3rd was the one that was on its agenda, and that set some timetables for the work of identifying the possible changes to the RAA. It leaves a little more fluid the timetable for the registrants' rights charter reflecting the existing agreement.
Yeah, and that is the charter that was approved.
Okay. Yeah, I sent in the chat the link to that. I'm not sure why on the Adobe we're looking at the earlier version of the charter, but in any case.
Oh, okay.
There were a few changes.
Okay, I also thought I had put a copy of the. It's been very confusing. I did do some editing to the web page, but I think it's changed since I did it, and I haven't gone back. And I thought I had put the latest copy of the charter there, but perhaps I hadn't. So any other questions or comments on this sort of...
Yeah, Avery, it's Alan.
Oh, yes, Alan. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I believe the other aspect of the RAA part of the group was to try to put a structure in place or to recommend a structure for how we, in fact, are going to do the actual RAA amendments. This group is coming up with a laundry list, but what the process will be in the next step, I thought, but I may be wrong, this group was also responsible for recommending.
Okay. Any other comments? The beginning of this. Really should find the charter so it's in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, this is Steve. It says, identify topics on which further action in the form of amendments to the RAA may be desirable. From that list, flag any topics that may require further analysis as to impact on consensus policy, and then third, propose next steps for considering such topics.
Okay.
Okay. So any other questions or comments on the beginning of this? Okay. And basically, the timing on those things was rather close. But anyhow, I guess the next thing on the agenda, if I go to that, I'm lost at the moment, is selection of the coordinators. Now we already have one of them. And that's Bo. And as quickly as possible, by the way, I would love to turn this meeting over to the coordinators. And I'm wondering from the GNSO side if there basically is one or more volunteers for that. If there's one volunteer for that, we could probably just agree to it. If there's more than one, then we would probably need some discussion on it and come up with a method of choosing. It would hopefully be good if we could just arrive at sort of a consensus on that. Is there anyone from the GNSO side that's interested in coordinating this effort?
This is Steve Metallis. I'd be happy to volunteer.
Okay, thank you, Steve. I was hoping you'd volunteer. Does anyone else wish to also volunteer to be considered, or are the GNSO members participating on this happy with accepting Steve's volunteering? Okay, in which case I will provisionally mark Steve down as the coordinator from the GNSO side, as is the normal practice in the GNSO. Once the meeting has come up with someone, it'll just be put in our agenda for a review. And if there are no objections, then that's the end of it. Okay? Now, I have a question for the two of you that are coordinators. And Cheryl, I ask your leave if you're okay with this, too. I would like to turn the meeting over to the two of you, who I know Steve is much more prepared on this than I am, and I understand that Bo is still coming up to speed, but... Steve and Bo, would you be willing to take the rest of this meeting away from me?
Well, this is Bo. In a sense, I would really sort of have to defer to Steve. I'm not prepared to lead a whole meeting at the moment, especially in light of needing to coordinate with some members of the at-large community. I don't think we have been able to regroup on current matters related to the RAA as it stands now. So, I mean, I'm happy to add, you know, background or whatever, but in terms of an agenda, I really don't have a reasonable one prepared to lead the meeting.
Yeah, well, we do have an agenda prepared, but I understand. Thank you. How about Steve?
Yeah, I'll be happy to take the lead on this one, and I'm sure Bo will be up to speed in no time. So, but just for purposes of this meeting, I could certainly do that.
And Cheryl, are you fine with my giving over our shared initiation to Steve and Bo at the moment, but primarily to Steve?
Well, it's a fait accompli, but yes, in fact, I am. I'd ask Bo if possible he could join the Adobe room so he can see if anyone is raising hands, because as Steve will probably be taking a lion's share on running the rest of this meeting, it is always handy if you've got a co-chair for both to be in the same management room.
Okay, in which case, thank you. Steve and Bo, I step down. It's your meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. Well, the agenda that's posted here, we've done the first two steps, and what we have remaining are the following: discussion of whether to have a face-to-face meeting in Seoul, composition of drafting team, selection of sub-team coordinators, and volunteers for the registrant rights sub-team. And then there's a couple of items under that about deliverables and time frame and scheduling future calls. And then there's the same for the RAA further amendments sub-team. Finally, there's procedural issues, mailing lists, wikis, and scheduling of future calls. If there's no objection, I'd like to defer the discussion of the face-to-face meeting in Seoul. We'll get back to that. But instead talk about the composition of the team and the selection of the sub-team coordinators. I'm wondering whether on the latter question it might be most efficient just to since we have a coordinator from GNSO and a coordinator from ALAC, could those people, rather than build further bureaucracy into this, I think most of the work of this group is going to be done in the sub-teams. They're two separate tasks. Obviously, they have some overlap, and that's why we need some coordination. But people need to start talking specifically about the registrant's rights charter. People need to start talking specifically about the topics for RAA amendments. And I wonder, I'll ask Bo, actually, whether he thinks it would make sense, at least provisionally, to have the sub-team coordinators be in parallel with the drafting team coordinators, and I could coordinate the RAA amendment sub-team and convene that, and Bo could convene the registered rights sub-team.
Sure.
That might be the simplest way to do it.
Yeah, I think that would be fine. No objections here.
Okay. What do other people think about that?
I support that. It's Alan.
Cheryl here. I've got a little green tick up on the Adobe room. It certainly gets my support.
Okay. Okay, so unless there's an objection, we'll proceed in that fashion, again, at least provisionally. Now, in terms of the composition of the drafting team, the agenda says open to all or limited to specific number per constituency stakeholder group, ALAC. So I guess let's open the floor to discussion on whether we want to limit this or not. Now, I should say there was a mailing list put together of people for the drafting team, and this is the group that worked on the charter and has had the discussions up till now. And I'm not, frankly, sure exactly how many people are on there or exactly what their distribution is. I assume that's kind of our starting point for the composition of the team. We certainly could take others if they can get into the process quickly. I think it would certainly make sense. But perhaps the staff can kind of tell us how many people we have on the list right now.
Yeah, this is Margie. Gisela, do you have that information by any chance?
I'm sorry, Gisela. I'll get it to the list.
Okay.
The one on the list.
Yeah, I can't remember. I mean, I don't remember exactly how we did have a fair sprinkling of from the GNSO constituencies. And again, in terms of the ALAC, I know there's a number of people on this call who I believe are ALAC participants. I'm not sure in every case, but my sense is that most of the people on this call actually are ALAC participants, if I'm not mistaken.
Many of them are not ALAC members, but they are representing at large at this point.
No, okay. same for the Adobe room, mostly at large.
Yep. Okay. Remembering, of course, that ALAC is the advisory committee, and it is at large interest that we're definitely trying to promote here.
Right. Okay, I stand corrected on that.
Well, it's similar, the words GNSO and GNSO Council could be used somewhat interchangeably.
Yeah.
In the sense of working groups is the same for us.
Mm. Yeah. But my sense is that we have at least a core here of people to start the work of the two sub-teams. And I think if other people want to join in, that's fine. But I think we are on fairly tight timetables here, so I would hope that joining in could take place quickly. But let me open the floor to others. Do others feel that we need to either have any particular strictures about how many people can participate, how many from a constituency or from a stakeholder group or from the at large, or are we okay with kind of starting with the group of volunteers that we have now, together with whatever others can be brought in a short time?
Steve, it's Alan.
Yeah, go ahead, Alan.
Yeah. I haven't seen a problem in recent times in working groups that there are too many people. I wish there were more of a problem, but the actual number of people we've had participating is not particularly large, and those who are vocal and really active is even smaller. So I see no reason at this point to restrict the numbers. We may regret that decision at some point in the future, but that today I don't see a reason.
Okay.
Alan,
Danny. Other comments? Danny, go ahead.
My only concern is that some working groups do tend to be top-heavy in terms of constituency representation. I've noticed it in the expired domains working group. But again, I would tend to think that it's at the discretion of the chair as to how he wants to handle that type of a situation.
Okay. Others wanting to speak on this question of the composition of
Evan,
draft?
Evan has his hand
up. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Evan.
Well, should I be using the Adobe chat or just yell out here?
Using the Adobe chat is a very good precedent to both set and continue, in Cheryl's opinion anyway.
And if it doesn't work, yell out.
Okay. Evan is the only one I see with his hand up at the moment. So,
speaking, Evan, I lowered it.
Okay, Evan, go ahead.
Okay. My main concern at this point is, as has already been mentioned, that we don't get overpowered. Bo and I were sort of the only at-large non-commercial people that were sitting in on the meeting in Sydney on registration abuse, and it seemed almost like a shooting gallery when we went to talk, and I'm concerned about that. Since, given the nature of what we're writing ourselves, it almost seems natural that we sort of limit ourselves to the participation of the contracted parties, because this is almost by definition, you know, our assertion of our side of that.
So you're saying we should limit the number of contracted parties?
If at all.
I would almost be, this is Bo, I would almost be on the side of limiting maybe to one or something, whatever is appropriate for fairness, because as Evan points out, and I agree, I mean, this is in essence the user community's response to a document that's already been prepared with the intense participation of the contracted parties. So.
Hey, did anybody else want to speak on this? I don't see anybody's hand.
Well, this is Tim.
Okay, Tim.
And Aubrey.
Ahead. Tim, Aubrey, anybody else?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the issue is. I mean, when we're talking about the rights document, we're not talking about setting policy or, you know, there really is going to be a little argument, I would imagine, over what those rights are. I mean, there may be discussions about what they would like some of those rights to be, that will spill over into the other subgroup. But within this particular group, it's a discussion of existing rights, and I think anyone who would like to participate should be allowed to do so. I don't see why it would need to be restricted for what the GNSO would stand to gain from that. You know, I mean, I think I've always believed from a practical standpoint there may be some limit to the number of, you know, if we end up with 1,000 people in a working group, it's going to be unworkable. But to limit it by constituency is definitely not something I think that the GNSO should or would support.
Steve, a point of order. I thought we were talking about a membership for both groups at this point, not just the registrant rights one.
I think that's correct.
And registrar's participation in the other group was a requirement of our agreeing to it. So if you're going to limit the registrars to it, you may end up with no registrars participating at all. But I just don't want everyone to put down that road and start that kind of discussion. I think it's unnecessary, and will just skew us off into arguments that just really aren't going to be productive.
Others wishing to speak on this? Either I'm sorry. Yeah, you were in the queue. Sorry. Avery, anybody else?
Danny.
Okay, go ahead, Avery.
Okay, yeah, thanks. It takes a while to get used to doing it, too. Basically, I think that we shouldn't be limiting participation by category. I think, obviously, if we get to a point where we feel that some particular speaker is taking all the air out of the room and dialogue can't continue, then the coordinators have an issue. But I think to limit it, and especially in a case where what we're talking about is the RAA's, you know, contractual conditions, I mean, is the registrar's contractual conditions, as it were, I think to limit their participation, but as I say, to limit anyone's I find problematic, but certainly to limit theirs would seem to me to be very problematic. I'm very strongly advise against limiting based on category of participants. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Avery. Anybody else wish to speak on this?
Yeah,
I
it's
heard
Alan.
Alan.
I heard Danny.
Danny first, I think.
Okay, fine, thanks. I'll go along with Aubrey's opinion. I thought that the new notion for working groups in the GNSO was basically designed to allow participation from all parties. That said, I do concur with Aubrey that there are times when an individual or a group may tend to monopolize discussions, and there it's up to the chair to bring the house in order.
Okay, Alan, and then I see there's two with their hands raised in the Adobe room, CLO and Michelle. So,
Michaela.
Michaela, I'm sorry. Alan, I think you were next.
Yes, certainly for this group I see no reason to limit, because hopefully this group will not be, even the one on the RAA side, will not be doing a lot of debate, but rather trying to come up with both a process and what I call a laundry list, which I think is going to be a superset of what actually ends up getting done. At least that's my perception. Now, once you get into the real RAA negotiations, work, whatever the working group, whatever comes out of it, we wouldn't want to be in a position where there are so many registrars that they're essentially, you know, controlling all of the discussion. But that's a different problem, and that, I think, is going to be framed in a different way. So for these meetings, I don't see any reason to limit it and leave it to the chairs to make sure that the meetings are run in an orderly way.
Okay. CLO here, Cheryl.
I
want to again speak it's sounding like a chorus of voices against limitations, but also to point out to the group that when we made our call for volunteers, and I assume staff will be sharing with us a full list of those who responded to that, some people may have either volunteered with an intention for a focus in one or another of what we now have as the two sub-teams, or indeed might have been intending to contribute to both or hadn't realised that they were going to be split into two sub-team activities. So we also need to consider that. So I'm against limitation, and I'm wanting the group to recognise that people need to also organise themselves into better areas or best areas of interest.
Thank you. That's a good point. Michaela, and then Tim has his hand up again.
Well, obviously I'm going to agree with what everybody said about the separation thing. I think it's inane to even suggest it. I would be more concerned if the group was dominated by North Americans, however. Because and I'm sorry, I mean, it's something I will keep on saying. There's a lot of the ICANN policy decisions are very much biased towards a North American view of the world, North American legislation, and North American business practices, whereas the Internet is a global resource. So I would be very interested in seeing, for example, I've noticed on this call that we've people from Down Under, hi Cheryl, from various parts of Eastern Europe, and I'm not too sure if there's anybody from South America, but I do note that there's nobody from Asia, or at least if there is, okay, sorry, Cheryl, sorry, but, you know, the point being anyway that I'd be more concerned about that kind of problem rather than anything else.
Michaela, it's Alan. I'll interject that the northern part of North America sometimes feels overwhelmed by the southern part.
And that's probably a good thing.
Okay, Tim had his hand up, and then I think we can wrap up on this topic.
That's okay. This is Tim, Steve. That's okay. We can go on.
Okay. Well, I think there was a pretty strong consensus that we shouldn't limit to a specific number per constituency, stakeholder group, at large, et cetera. I think two things from that the staff could do to help us at this point. One is to generate a list of just who we've got. Who stepped forward or was on the mailing list of the team. And that could we could indicate the geographic distribution if that's known. I'm not sure everyone has stepped forward to say that. But anyway, I think that would be useful information. And second, perhaps we should send out a note to the list and say, you know, there are two subgroups here, and they're going to be working they're going to be coordinated, but they're working on slightly different, somewhat different topics. And if you have a preference, which one would you like to be in? Or you could be in both, I guess, if you have the time and energy. But we would certainly encourage people to be in one or the other as their interests lie. Would that make sense? Because I don't know, I don't want to assume which ones most people are interested in, but it would be helpful probably to know if we have a big imbalance there, if we don't have enough people or not the right breadth of people in one group or another, we might be able to tell that.
Yeah, this is Beau. Given the consensus of what people said, I mean, I think that Steve and I, to some degree, can be responsible for addressing issues of diversity of opinion and range and that kind of thing without limiting.
Yeah. Well, if there's no objection, we'll assume that there won't be a limit, and we will ask the staff to give us, you know, prepare the list, and also Beau and I will send out something that two subgroups and encourages people to indicate a preference, and maybe we'll have sub-lists or whatever. If there's nothing else on that topic, did someone want to be heard on that topic?
Oh, yeah, it's just Margie. I just wanted to confirm. We'll go ahead and do that as staff.
Great. Okay, thanks. Then let's go on to five and six. Well, five first, but five and six really are the same topic or as the different sub-teams. Expected deliverables and time frame, scheduling future calls. So as I recall, the charter that was approved, and which is now posted, I think, on the Adobe board, had for Task A, which is the registrant rights subgroup, it just says begin Task A forward immediately. Begin Task A forward to council upon completion. It does have some actual deadlines for Task B, But we can't meet those because it calls for the draft report on Task B to be produced at 30 days after the council approved the charter, and that would be this coming Saturday. So we've lost a few weeks here for some reason, but so obviously that's not going to be realistic, but that does give a sense of what the council approved in terms of moving rapidly on this. So I guess I would just, before we get too far into the discussion of timetables, I would just start with that. And, you know, of course, this whole effort is the result of a resolution that was adopted 6 months ago in Mexico City. So I hope we can, that both of these can be moved along. And with that, let me just ask Bo if he has any comments or thoughts on what's a realistic timetable for the Registering Rights Group, or if others have thoughts on that. I see Alan has his hand up.
Sure, Alan has his hand up. I guess I would just sort of say briefly from my experience with the, or limited experience at this point, with the Registration Abuse Working Group, I think that's gone on like way too long for volunteers. So, you know, if we could, I guess this sort of gets back to discussing the face-to-face meeting in Seoul, but I think the sooner we set a timetable goal, the better off we are. So 30 days after Seoul, I would say.
Okay, so that's proposed for the Registrant Rights.
For the Registrant Rights, yes. And that's assuming, and that's assuming we can have a robust face-to-face meeting in Seoul.
Okay, Alan has his hand up. Anybody else want to be in the queue? I know not everybody's on the Adobe. Alan, go ahead.
Yep. I was really in the queue for the other half of it, but I do have a small comment on the Registrant Rights one. The challenge on the Registrant Rights one, I think, is going to be translating what Margie has done into simple words which apply, because there's so much variation between registrars. Finding words that are meaningful and not simply saying, go read the contract, I think is going to be a challenge. And I think coming up with the methodology of how it's done, whether it's a simple document or, in fact, hyperlinks, I don't know. But I think that's going to be the challenge, and it may take a little longer than we would otherwise hope because of that. I do have a comment on the time of the other one, but
go ahead.
I'll wait. Go ahead now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Given that we are starting another round, essentially, of potential RA amendments, at the very least, this has to include a public call for what do people think should be addressed. And that's going to add at least 30 days plus analysis time to this process. So whatever time we set for that has to allow abundant time to accept input, to process it, to analyze it, and then the working group can try to come up with some definitive list, which I don't know to what extent it's going to try to narrow it down to a reasonable number of items, but certainly we need public input into this process.
Well, this is Bo. I mean, what if the call for something like that went out, you know, like within a week?
Well, excuse me. This is Steve.
Sorry.
Get back to the charter. We did address this when we developed the charter, and that's why there's a 50-day period after the draft report goes out. There'll be a 21-day public comment, and the reason it's 50 days is because people said we need time to actually analyze what comes in, other suggestions that people have or critiques they have of the list that we've prepared. So, Alan, I wasn't sure whether you were suggesting that there should be some call to the public before we prepare a draft, because I think that was
adopted
in the charter.
Yeah, on thinking it over again, that is what I'm suggesting, and it was not in the charter, but I think the group needs to consider, should they be starting just based on the input of the people in this group, or should there be a public comment? I don't know the answer, but something tells me that it would be wiser to have a comment than not at the beginning.
Okay,
but you're right; it was not in the charter.
Yeah,
that's why I was saying maybe if we did something like by the end of the week, it's not as if this is a new issue.
Okay, thank you, Bo. Michaela, did you have a comment?
So I'm also confused. I'm sorry, I'm a bit confused by this. What exactly, in simple one sentence, is this group meant to be working on with respect to the RAA?
it's supposed to develop a list of topics for potential amendments to the RAA, and then
okay, that's okay. Because the problem is that the RAA, the new RAA, as in the modified version, was only adopted within the last couple of months, and in some respects, it might be a bit premature to be going looking for public comments when a lot of registrars still haven't switched to the new RAA, as into the modified version, so they're still working on the old one. It predates the first set of amendments. Now, the biggest registrars, the ones that account for the largest percentage of active registrations, have switched over, yes. I don't know offhand, but I'm sure ICANN staff would have some kind of polite way of giving a figure without giving away too much information as to how many registrars have actually signed onto RAA V2 or whatever you want to call it. But there are still a large-ish number of registrars who haven't signed over onto it yet. So that's just confused me a small little bit.
Okay, Alan has his hand up.
Yeah, the rationale, at least from my perspective, was the last round of RAA amendments ended with a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, with the feeling that there were a whole bunch of things that should have been on the table but were excluded because of the process used, and there were people eager to try to do a second round immediately, which is why this whole thing was tied together with improvement of the last RAA.
Well, that's fair enough. I was just trying to understand what the rationale was behind it, because if you look at the general GNSO stuff, where a group goes looking for feedback from the public, and you look at the complete apathy in some respects, which ranges from complete apathy where you get like one comment through to, you know, a reasonable level of activity through to hundreds of rabid comments. Most of them are actually completely off the topic that you're discussing. So it's just wondering if going to the public immediately was such a good idea or not. But I mean, you know, that's fair enough. And thanks for the explanation.
Does anybody else want to be heard on this? If not, I'll recognize myself. I don't think we should have a public call before. I think it's going to be easier for people to respond to a draft than it is for them to respond to the abstract question, what topics would you like to see addressed in the RAA? And again, this is really the timetable that our group, the drafting team, has come up with, that the council has approved, which was that we would first produce a draft, then the public would react to that. And I think it's probably more meaningful we will be more likely to get more meaningful comments. Obviously, there's no guarantee one way or the other, but we'll be more likely to get more meaningful comments if we have a list of, you know, five items, and the public can say, no, we don't want a change in that area, or you left out these other two areas. So I would propose that we stick to the timetable that, at least to the framework that was approved by the council. Obviously, we can't meet the T plus 30 deadline or milestone that was there. But as the charter says, those milestones are to be updated as needed upon charter approval. And I think if we can aim to get this draft report out, if we can get it out before the Seoul meeting, I think that would be ideal. If we can't, then I think we should have done enough work on it that perhaps very soon after the Seoul meeting we can circulate this for public comment.
Yeah. Steve, given that I was the one who made the suggestion, since many of the people who were frustrated with the previous process are in fact in this group and will likely raise the issues that they consider necessary, I can certainly live with what you're saying.
Okay. Thank you. Danny had his hand up.
Thank you, Steve. My concern, of course, is with the date at which we recognize the beginning of the process, and with the Seoul meeting up ahead of us, that's going to impact people by way of travel time and other obligations. I'm wondering whether we should, in fact, think about T actually beginning immediately upon the conclusion of the upcoming meeting.
Okay. T in the charter says council approval, but obviously that's not doable.
Right.
We can't do this by T plus 30. So you're suggesting basically the end of November for the date, the target date to issue this draft report.
Correct.
Okay. Other thoughts on that?
This is Aubrey.
Aubrey, yeah. Anybody
Hi.
Else want to be in the queue? Go ahead, Aubrey.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment that I would request that whatever dates you come up with, basically then, you know, send them off to both the GNSO Council and to the ALAC, and, you know, then I'm sure that the charters can be updated. I think that, you know, these dates make a whole lot of sense. I just sort of ask you to, you know, make sure that after you've done that, update both of the chartering organizations, as it were. Thanks.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point. Anybody else want to be heard on this topic? And I guess we're kind of mixing in both the registrant rights, task A and task B, with the RAA. And I think what's on the table from in both cases, I think one case from Alan and one case from Danny, is that the target date for completion of a draft would be 30 days after the roughly 30 days after the.
Oh, boy. Can somebody mute that?
Okay. I guess they liked what you were saying, Steve.
Either that or they didn't like it. I don't know.
Steve, Cheryl here. Take it as a fanfare. I don't
okay.
think we'll go that way. Yes.
Yeah, all right. So
it costs a lot of money to play music on such channels.
That's right. okay, so I think that... That what we have in front of us right now, the proposal is for Seoul plus 30 for both of these deliverables. Could people comment on that? Is that too ambitious? Is that too unambitious, given that we've, you know, this is a process that was intended to move as quickly as possible after the approval of the most recent RAA amendment? Michaela and Alan.
I would say that, you know, a lot of people who are involved in these processes are involved in a lot of other working groups. So, as long as it's setting reasonable targets, it would make more sense to me than trying to do things far too quickly and then it doesn't get done properly because we've all got other commitments. That's just my thoughts on it. So what you said about was a Seoul plus 30 or whatever is perfectly reasonable as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Alan?
Yeah, if we say the end of Seoul plus 30, I'm afraid we're really the week after a meeting is always pretty well lost from part of some people vacationing and some people just traveling. So really we're saying 3 weeks, and even if you hold one meeting a week, that's not a lot of time to get organized and produce something. I'd love to say 30 plus Seoul plus 30, but I don't think it's realistic at all.
Well,
just given the amount of time one has.
I'm assuming that we're going to get something done before Seoul.
Well,
so I mean we're still
okay.
Okay. Seoul meeting. So
if there's face to face time at Seoul, I think our chances are significantly higher.
Okay. Well. Let me see if anybody else wants to comment about Seoul plus 30 as the target, and if not, we can agree to that and then move right on to the question of face-to-face meeting in Seoul. Are there any further comments on Seoul plus 30? Okay, so that will be the target for both groups. Now, in terms of a meeting in Seoul, I guess the first question is how many people who are participating or planning to travel to Seoul, although I assume we can have, if we have a meeting, we can also have telephonic participation. And another question, which I guess I would direct to the staff, is what are the, you know, are there slots available, are there open slots when this meeting could be held? So let's first ask, let's open the floor for discussion about whether to have a face-to-face meeting in Seoul, and who would support that, who would want to see that, who thinks that's not a good idea. Evan, I see your hand up, or maybe not.
Oh, sorry, that was an accident.
Sebastian's hand is up.
Danny has his hand up.
Yeah, if we go ahead with a face-to-face install, just please try to arrange for remote participation. That's it. Thanks.
Okay. Good point. Anybody else? Cheryl.
Just pointing out that, of course, from the ALAC or large perspective in Seoul, our meetings, it's rare for them not to have remote participation. That's our norm, not our abnorm. Hopefully the local logistics will allow that remote participation to actually be effective. But with the use of things like the Adobe rooms and telephone bridges, we should be able to sort something out. The tricky part will be fitting it into a schedule.
Yeah, that's always the challenge, isn't it?
And yes, I would like to make sure we try and do so.
Okay. Other comments on face-to-face in Seoul? Well, there were a couple of comments in the earlier discussion that said, you know, that seemed to assume we would have a face-to-face in Seoul. I mean, I think both of these tasks are tasks that, in theory, could be done quite well without a face-to-face meeting. But perhaps we should look into whether there's a time that would work in Seoul and a place we could have it, and if we could have remote participation. I mean, maybe Bo and I could work with the staff to see if that's feasible, and come up with some possible times and socialize that with the group just to see if the times are meaningful for remote participation. What other people think?
Steve, it's Danny. An ideal time, I'll still make it onto the call.
Okay, great. I know it's not likely to be an ideal time from your location.
Steve, this is Bo.
Just to
go a little further into what Cheryl said, I mean, perhaps in terms of setting aside a time and a venue, I don't know how defined the ALAX schedule is for all of Seoul at the moment, but you know, maybe there could be a joint, or maybe there could be an actual ALAC session that relates to the RAA where people could be, in other words, rather than trying to go through a lot of folderol to line up a separate meeting room and all of that at this late phase, maybe there's an ALAC meeting that could be focused around this since there's a fair number of ALAC participants. I can't speak for Cheryl on that, but...
As if you would dare, Bo, but I would like to think that we should be able to come up with something, and, of course, that makes the logistics much easier if we can.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then maybe the upshot is we would work with Cheryl as well as with the staff to try to see if we can come up with a time slot that makes sense. But again, I would encourage people, let's try to get these sub-teams up and running before Seoul, and let's try to do as much as possible by telephone and on the list. Again, we're not, you know, in one case we are kind of trying to draw from the existing RAA a plain language statement about registrants' rights, and the other we are really coming up with, as Alan said, a laundry list, and I tend to agree with him. It's probably an over-inclusive list of potential topics. And they don't have to be extremely granular in the way they're defined, I don't think. So I think this is probably doable with even without a face-to-face meeting, but we could certainly see if such a meeting is feasible. Does anybody else want to speak on this? Evan, I see your hand is up. Did anybody else want to say anything on this question?
Yeah, Margie too.
Okay, Evan and then Margie.
Okay, the only point I wanted to make was if the comment was made that we should get more North Americans and more Europeans in this, there's simply people that communicate better face-to-face that want to look somebody in the eye. If we've got everyone together in Seoul, it makes no sense not to try and have something to put together. It's easy to say, well, we don't need a face-to-face meeting. You don't know who's being shut out of this because they simply don't communicate well by email. This happens, and this is being discussed in at large right now, and I hope you carry it into other forums. And in trying to keep in mind The people who are not participating in these things because of the stress on email communications modes that some people aren't comfortable with.
Good. That's a good point. Of course, the other side of it is that there are people who aren't in a position to travel to all over the world to have these meetings. So
you do what you can with what you
right.
have. I'm just saying,
right, that's right.
have this many people together at once. You don't lose that opportunity.
Right. Okay. Margie, I think you had a comment.
Yeah, we anticipated that there would need for a meeting, and so the meeting staff is aware that we may be asking for, and we'll go ahead and work with the ALAC staff to make sure that it.
Okay.
The one thing that I wanted to point out, though, is I want this space to be for both sub-teams. They're two different tasks, and the task of writing the registrant rights charter is more of a work among some people. The task of identifying new topics is something that's probably more appropriate
appropriate for what? I'm sorry, you got cut off there, Margie.
Sure. My question is the RAA amendments, that seems like it's something that might be appropriate for the ALAC audience, but the kind of the actual drafting of the registrant rights charter is more of a manual process that doesn't really, I don't think it necessarily involves input from people that are out the group of, of this work.
Okay, well, at this point, let's just look into the possibilities of having a face-to-face meeting or we could split it up between the two sub-teams or however we want to do it. But let's get some options out there and see if it's feasible. I'm aware that we're now at the end of our 60-minute time period, so I'd like to try to wrap up. I would suggest that that the sub-team leaders work with the staff to get doodles going on a first call of the sub-team that it would be done before the Korea meeting. But I think we could just try to do that on a doodle to find the time that's most convenient for the most people. But we are expecting, we will also have the circular out from the staff asking people to identify with one or the other or both sub-teams. The last agenda item here we had was mailing lists, wikis, and scheduling of future calls. I don't have a proposal on this, but I'm not sure that we need to schedule a call of the entire group. I think at this point the work that needs to be done in the sub-teams, and I think we can handle the logistics of getting a face-to-face meeting together if that's feasible without having another call. So I wouldn't see a necessity for scheduling any future calls of the overall group. And I guess in terms of mailing lists and wikis, I think we're going to have two sub-teams, so if we can get two sub-lists established, I assume the staff could do that once we have people who've identified. And people are welcome to be on both lists, but again, just so we don't necessarily need to be cross-talking about all of these issues. So let me just open up for brief comments on any of those points before we wrap up. Cheryl, I see. Anybody else? Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you, Steve. With the comments that Michaela made earlier about using languages other than English, the wiki spaces that we have set up, we're all fairly used to over in the at-large NALAC world, running things in at least English, French, and Spanish. So perhaps using subspace of the joint work group that we set up as a commons, which was open to public input, might be a useful tool as well. Perhaps we can discuss that with the GNSO and ALAC support staff and see what connections are going to be most viable and most valuable.
Point. Any other comments here? Alan?
Yeah, I was just going to support everything you said, and with regard to Cheryl's comment on multiple languages, if we are going to want multiple language support in any form online, we should try to give staff a heads up about it. Time delays in that seem to have gotten longer, not shorter.
And we should also make sure that if we're going to have interpretations and that we should actually be aware that there's going to be people taking advantage of it? We've already had instances where we have lots of facilities for interpretation happens and nobody shows up.
Hello, this is Aubrey. Can I add something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. One of the reasons that we didn't put it on for this meeting and one of the things that needs to be considered is coming out of the GNSO, there really is no budgeting set aside for that. So if it's something that this group decides that it wants to do in terms of having interpretation on calls and translations of documents, then we need to make sure that it's got a budget it can come out of. And since the GNSO has sort of been the sponsor of, you know, getting this effort started, and the GNSO does not have any budget for that, because the GNSO is specifically, you know, a English language supporting organization, we need to find budget.
Okay, well, maybe Bo and I could pursue that with the staff and see what the prospects for that are.
As long as you involve CLO in that, that is an excellent plan, Steve.
Great. Okay. Anything else that people want to add before we adjourn the meeting? Okay, well, thanks, everybody. Sorry we ran a little bit over, but we will please look for some emails from the staff as far as your sub-team preference, and then for emails from your sub-team coordinator about scheduling those meetings.
Including for those who haven't joined tonight, of course, or today as well.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.